Hi, this is the Dot Matrix. I'm Sean.
I'm Justin.
And we're starting a new way to do podcasting today.
Yes, we actually have our both mics working.
And so far, it hasn't crashed the system yet, though it could happen at any time, knock on wood.
Don't knock on wood, it's going to disrupt it. And we never even played back the audio, so we don't even know if this is actually sounding pretty good, but the levels seem okay.
The levels seem okay, and although I should probably sit differently or my neck's going to start hurting now.
Yeah, you do look like Yoda a little bit, just crouched over.
Maybe I'll just hold it like this.
Oh, that's better. Wow, there you go.
Yeah, what do you think?
Very sexy.
Or I could just lower my chair.
Either way, still sexy.
Hey, it's going. Okay, don't jinx it. Okay.
We're very excited, as you can tell. And if you were listening to this, you also heard we're celebrating with a new theme song, too.
Oh, yeah. So you'll hear that for the first time on this podcast. You know, maybe it's if we don't, like, talk too loud into the mics. There's no
dead air. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe, yeah, if it sees dead air, if it registers nothing, it might just shut it off, maybe.
Okay, no, we'll keep talking. Well, we're good at that, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Continuous talking.
So what's on your mind right now, Justin?
I feel very at the edge of my seat because I just keep thinking this is going to stop recording at any moment.
I know.
And everyone listening must be thinking, just get on with it.
So we will do that. So we just had another great Indian dinner tonight.
Oh, Lord.
After our
so
gym
good.
Workout. We did a thorough gym workout today.
We did. Very, very thorough. I'm impressed. I was impressed and continue to be impressed.
Excellent. Well, I think that was a lot of fun. And I got you running a little bit, didn't I? A little bit?
Yeah, I ran for like 2.5 minutes.
Right. Okay. And no, that's good because... Justin, you need to eat better and exercise more. Isn't that right?
Yes, Dad. Well, especially since I was at the P&E yesterday and had a fish and chips, washed it down with a Coke, and had mini donuts for dessert, and then got nauseous while in the show march with all this, just so many people and hawking their mops and their iPod docking stations and purses and wallets, and it was just so hot in there. I was feeling really bad.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
I had a lot of food. I was talking about this UFC barbecue I went to.
Mm-hmm, yes.
I had like 5 plates full of food, but at least half of them were all vegetables, like grilled veggies and things.
Well,
so I was pretty
fancy you.
But it's funny because it's deceptive because they had these little plastic cups, like little tiny plastic cups, you know?
Yeah.
That are like kid size or something. And then so I thought, oh, you know, I'll just have a little root beer. And then, because I haven't had root beer in so long. And okay. I love root beer. And then I see a C+ orange. I'm like, oh, I love orange pop, but I never drink it because it's like, I mean,
it's orange pop.
It's orange pop. Like, it's disgusting. Like, it's, but it's real bad goodness, you know? So.
It's bad good.
So I had some of that, then I had more root beer, then I'm like, okay, I'm going back, I'm having some diet pop.
Oh, right.
Then I had like a...
No sense going to water now.
No, I didn't even have any water when I was there. I was like, big house and no water anywhere. Yeah. No drinking.
You weren't in White Rock, were you? Where you,
no.
Where you had this... You
South Burnaby.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
South Burnaby, yo.
Yo? When I think South Burnaby, I always think yo at the end.
Gangsta, yo. But yeah, let's talk about some things, you know.
Yeah.
We had a few things kind of on our minds before we started that we were going to save. But you should talk about your trip before this thing stops.
Right. Yeah, actually, this is probably going to be our last podcast before I go on my trip.
Which doesn't mean anything, because...
Yeah, it might not get posted until after I come back, so...
We go 5-6 weeks between anyway, but go ahead.
But yeah, I know I'm going to be off on September 11th, which is a weird flying day, but probably the safest flying day, I've been telling people, which I think is really true. I think people will probably double check their whatever, you know, everything on the 11th. So flying out to Barcelona and gonna spend 9 days there, and while I'm there, just skip over to Andorra for the weekend. Just booked a one night hotel there for that weekend, and then gonna fly to Bilbao after Barcelona, see the Guggenheim there, and then slowly train it to Paris. So I'll probably stop. I'm thinking about stopping in San Sebastian. There's a film festival happening right there. It's one of the bigger ones in Europe.
Okay.
Like, it's obviously not Cannes or anything, but it's pretty big. And then skip over to the French side to a beach resort town, and then train it to Bordeaux, where it's one of those fast speed hubs, so then I can get to anywhere after that. So, yeah, so I'm really excited. A friend that you know is going to be there for architecture school. It's a very... You know, anyone who studies architecture has to study it, has to go to Barcelona. We all know that from Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Right.
And and so she's going to hopefully be able to experience some of the trip with me. And this is partly why I'm going, because, you know, I'm going on my own, but it's nice to have someone there to sort of experience some of it with. So she's definitely up for going to Andorra with me. You have to take a 3-hour bus ride to get there, because it's in the Pyrenees Mountains. And the funny story, which is the reason why I'm going, and I've said this to you before off camera, off mic, but I want to share it with the world, because I think it's so fascinating, is that it's a small little nation in the mountains, and it's a co-principality, which means they have two princes, and it all started back in whatever century when two noble people met, married, settled in this area, and they decided that the country would not be French or Spanish, right?
Right.
And so they said, well, you know, we're going to set it in stone, and they put a whole thing together. Mm-hmm. And now the co-principality, one prince is a bishop in some region in Spain.
Okay.
Some low-level bishop, I guess. And then the other one is the president of France. So Nicolas Sarkozy is the co-prince of Andorra.
What?
Yeah. So very good acting there, because you've heard the story, so I'm glad you said what in a wonderful way.
I don't know, like, bits and pieces, like, I have the worst memory, but some parts I'm like, oh, like I know I've heard it, but, you know, when you say the parts that are, like, real highlights, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Because that's kind of, like, I keep thinking, like, I mean, you just can't, I mean, it's ceremonial in many ways. Yeah. Like, the parliament only has 28 seats, apparently.
Really?
And so, but, like, this bishop must have to meet with Nicolas Sarkozy at least once a year, you'd figure, just to say, well, what's going on, you know, what's happening,
how's it going in the hood.
Just think about this, like, these two guys, one's of no name, sorry guy, but the other one is like the president of France, so, like, it's quite something. And it just, they said this is the only monarchy in the world where the prince or the person, the royalty, is actually elected by a people of any kind.
Elected?
Yeah, because Nicolas Sarkozy gets elected, right? So whoever is elected is the prince. So, so it's just kind of weird, like, you know, when you think about Prince Charles, when he becomes, you know, King of England for 2 days before he dies.
Right.
And, sorry, that was a bit kind of cheeky. But, you know, he isn't elected. He was born into it, right? So it's kind of weird. Like, it's kind of a monarchy that isn't based on bloodlines, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. Anyway, so I figure I had to go to go see this place, right?
That's a cool concept, because could you imagine if they had a referendum in England about who would be the next king, or who, they just go straight to William. Or Harry. He has a lot of fans.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, those who like to dress up as Nazis. Anyway, so... But yeah, so Andorra has that kind of going for it, and apparently it's got very low taxes, and so there's lots of cheap goods. So it's good for jewelry and electronics.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so I'll come back with lots of bling and maybe an iPad.
Yeah, and it will just scream Andorra.
Yes. So there you go. That's like kind of the quirky thing about my trip, and but I'm very excited. Like, and I just keep trying to figure out whether or not do I get my Eurorail pass now, or do I just wait and buy tickets. Like, I like to be spontaneous in my mind, but really in my heart, I like to plan things out.
And I'm the same, no matter what I would say publicly. But isn't there a difference between cost if you get certain types of transportation passes here?
Yeah, well, I mean, The urine plus is supposed to be cheaper, and I went to the site that one of the official sites that do offer it for Canadians, and if you get a 6-day Eurorail pass between Spain and France, which is the only two countries I'm going to be at,
right,
and so you can travel any 6 days on the train within 2 months, and that's like $400 and something. But if I book individual tickets just on that same site, it ends up being $100 cheaper.
Oh.
Right. So I think it's if you're going to crisscross quite a bit a ways and do like go all over these two countries.
Yeah.
But this one, like, I'm just going one specific route from Bilbao to Paris.
Sure.
Right. And I'm just stopping along the way, and those individual legs are not very long. Right.
Okay.
So I think it'd be worth it if I was going, let's say, Granada to Seville to Madrid, Madrid to Bilbao, Bilbao to Toulouse, Toulouse to Nice, to Monaco, and Monaco to Paris, like all that in 6 days, right?
Sounds amazing.
Like, then it'd probably be worth it. But so I'm thinking it might just, yeah, I'm not sure yet. I still like to have tickets to where I'm going to be going to, and then a place to stay once I'm there. Like, I don't need to worry about what I'm doing when I'm there. I can just wander around and figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
But I those two things I kind of like to have. So yeah. So I'm going to talk to our friend who I'm going to be traveling with on Wednesday. But I'm thinking we might just decide before that, because it takes about a week or so to at least get it. So get it to arrive. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got dinner to cook first.
Yes, yes. I'm having all of you guys over on the Monday, holiday Monday. So.
Yeah.
We'll celebrate Labor Day in style.
Awesome. Well, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
good
to hear.
That's the trip. I'm very excited. And as I told you over when we're doing working out, like, my whole idea of getting my backyard, I think I probably talked about this renewed energy in getting the backyard in order in the last podcast, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all gone.
Like, yeah.
Once I booked this trip and had the plane trip at least booked, my mind's just been going there. So it's difficult. So our friend Mike will be disappointed.
Yeah, but he might be, just a little.
So what's on your mind, topic-wise?
Oh, my God. All kinds of craziness. You know, we had talked beforehand just about, you know, there's all these things that we could just, you know, the usual, you know, Republican, conservative stuff.
What was the name of that? The march that Glenn
Beck's? It's Restoring Honor.
Restoring Honor. And it's very much about religion, right? Like,
that's the thing. I didn't really know what the basis for this march is for, but I don't know. I think he's...
So finding crazy, God again or thing. I just... Whatever I saw from the clips. But anyways, we...
Well, it could be, you know, because born again... people often feel the need to spread the gospel. So, and I think he's one of them. I'm sure he is.
Well,
but he was doing it on Martin Luther King Jr.'s 47th anniversary of his I Have a Dream speech, right?
Mm-hmm.
August 1963. So, you know, a lot of people were like, whoa, dude, like, come on. But no, he got lots of people out. A lot of people are just misguided and misinformed and following him. They want the new America. They want times like they were before in some fairy tale, you know,
right,
time period. But so I found that really interesting. But I actually didn't read a lot about it. Didn't get as much press as I thought it would.
Yeah, well, wasn't it? It was on a Sunday or was it a Saturday? I can't remember.
I think it was on the Saturday. It was on the whatever the 28th was.
Saturday.
That's the Saturday, yeah.
Yeah.
So they say it was coincidental or something that he held it that day. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, I've planned enough events in my life.
Yeah.
That whenever you settle on dates, you wonder, what's this date about?
Yeah. Right.
Like, you know, is there holidays? When is spring break this year? You know?
Yeah.
He's got
people to figure this out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. He, what can you say about the guy? But yeah, that was one of the the funny things, you know.
Yeah, but we decided we weren't going to talk about that. But yes, yet we've left.
What I was more interested in talking about was the Northwest Passage.
Yes, tell me more, because
I
only know so much about this. I just know, like,
you know, I don't know a lot, and I'm hoping to learn more, because we were talking about that Billy Connolly show on that travel show that he does on PBS.
I don't think it was a show. It's just one special.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I read in the description of it. And it's just following the roots. Like, what is he? Is he Scottish? Or is he, and it's just the Scottish and British roots along Canada's coast. So Newfoundland and up. And I don't know if he ended up being on our coast at all. But
Well, he started in Nova Scotia. He's like, I'm in the middle of nowhere, Nova Scotia. I can't do Scottish, but... They always laugh because I have a poor Scottish accent.
That
I'm
was
Irish, I'm not Scottish.
I don't even know what adjective I would say before attempt.
So, atrocious? that's an adjective.
That is an adjective. I just didn't know if I wanted to be that harsh.
Awful. Godforsaken. So he started in Nova Scotia, and then he went through he did on-land stuff too. So he would go through Newfoundland, up around northern Quebec, and that's where it cuts through. So like around northern Quebec, Nunavut, all north of the main areas of that and Northwest Territories.
Yep.
Come down through there in Yukon.
Okay.
Go down through British Columbia, Alaska, and then end up in the northwest tip of Vancouver Island. They showed a map at the beginning where, like, hit this route and didn't give a lot of details. Obviously, you got to watch. But so I will watch and I'll give an update. But we've been hearing a lot in the press about Northwest Passage lately, because it used to be all solid, thick ice. But it's melted through now. So the first time.
Yay, global warming.
Yeah. Well, I find it fascinating, because before, when the whole, you know, we had the ice age, 20,000 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah, I only saw that animated movie once, so I don't really know. Sorry. Oh, sorry, Ray Romano friends.
You thought the recording would stop, but no, we're still going here.
It's obviously not stopping because of class.
So.
Keep going.
So
it's melted away.
It's melted away. And so now, for the first time ever in the world's history, since there's been like boats and people navigating on the water, they can make it a big trade route. They can look at offshore drilling, which is what I talked about last time, I think.
Right.
They want to do all these things that I don't think is right, personally. If you want to sail around there, that's one thing. But if it's for any economical or political purpose, I get a little sketchy. So a lot of people are like, okay, well, the United States don't recognize it as Canadian waters. They recognize it as international.
Right.
Which at first I found kind of disappointing. Then I thought about it and I was like, well, you can sail around the Gulf of Mexico. Is that American waters or is that international waters? I don't know. I mean, eventually, you sail around a country, you get far out enough, you're in international waters. So what I want to know is how close to the edge of all our territories, Canadian land, do we consider it our own? Or, like, and how far do we take this discussion, right? Because there's a lot of northern countries that are...
Yeah.
They're taking a piece of the Arctic as their own, right?
Right.
So I don't know. I'm undecided, because as a Canadian, I want to be open-minded, and I want to do what's right for the right reason. But at the same time, that's our own, like, Canada stretches really far north, like almost hits the Arctic tip.
Right.
So do we, just because we're able to go there now, does that mean we have to... claim it our own, or do we start sharing, or what do we do?
Well, I mean, I would assume in the end it's all about money, right? Like, if especially if offshore drilling is involved, like, that's a lot of royalty checks that could be flowing into whoever's country owns those waters. And I don't know what it means if it's international waters. If it's a trade route, my guess it would be... I don't know whether or not, like, if you pass through the Panama Canal, do you pay a fee to Panama to go through it? Like, I don't know, or whoever.
That's a good example.
You know, like, I and so I don't know. My assumption is yes. I'm assuming there's someone, you know, yeah.
Something as narrow as that.
Yeah, you somehow, you know, monitor it, and then someone has to pay that country to pass through your territory or something, right?
Sure, like, yeah.
But, and I guess the debate ends up being, and this is just me as a educated shot in the dark kind of thing, is what must be the contentious issue is that, you know, international waters, or what is deemed your nation's waters, is probably X amount of kilometers outside of your land, right? So let's say off the coast of Tofino, international waters goes from that beach to X number of kilometers out, right? Like,
or you mean like our waters? Or
yeah, like what would be Canadian waters, right? Yeah. And then at a certain point, once you pass, let's say, 10 kilometers out,
right,
it's international waters. And, you know, all hell can break loose, penguins can drink, you know, whatever, all those things. For all those Simpsons fans out there. But actually, it's not really a Simpsons quote, but reference. But anyway, so my guess is the problem is because the ice caps have melted, and now there's a passageway. That passageway is probably what would still be considered Canadian water, Canadian land, because those ice flows are Canadian islands, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
So I guess now they're no longer in existence. So where does that line? Is the line where it traditionally has been, or is that border an organic border that keeps moving? And now that your country is receding because there's less ice, that the border, you know, maybe it's receded 10 kilometers, it shrunk 10 kilometers, and now all of that is now not, you know, what used to be ice is now water, and what water is now,
so what,
you know, so where is that, where does land begin for Canada, I guess, is the big thing, right?
Yeah, right.
So I don't know whether or not land or borders can be organic. There's like the 49th parallel is the 49th parallel that separates our country. Yes. Right, from the United States. That's not moving. But what is it if it's based on ice, right? Like,
yeah,
totally. So I don't know.
That's a good way of thinking about it. And I want to find out more about this because, you know, Russia and Denmark and us and the United States, and I think one more, there's like five major contenders in all this.
Well, it's funny, the Danish sort of put some flag on some little ice island somewhere, and they call it Danish, and I'm like...
Well, they have a little blip up there somewhere. They have one just outside of... Or France has one just outside of Nova Scotia or something like that. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
There's a little French island there, yeah.
Huh.
And just like they have a little island by the Dominican Republic or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, it's ours. It's French, you know? Even though, I mean, look where it is, right? It's just like outside of Argentina, like the Falkland Islands, right?
Or Gibraltar and
yeah.
In Spain, right? Or not Spain.
it's all that same thing. It's just like, really? But, you know, if they conquered it or claimed it at one point, that I guess that needs to be respected, right?
Or does it?
Well, I guess it depends if there's anyone living there. That's colonial thinking, right? Yeah. But then, I mean, it's so easy to be like, oh, you know, whatever. You know, it's like, give the West Bank and Gaza, to Palestinians. Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense to most people and a lot of Israelis who call it Judea and Samaria. And... that's the West Bank, yeah, and then Gaza. But we haven't felt that pressure of another country annexing a part of our country, right?
No, that's true.
The closest we have is Quebec wanting to leave. We don't have the United States saying, you know what, we're taking New Brunswick because it's in the border of Maine and we're going to take it. Like, we have no idea what that's like, and I wonder what kind of true colors would come out in most of us when it would be like, hell no, you're not going to take that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That ire comes out, you know, that wrath. I don't know. We haven't felt that. So I think only the beginning of that is the Arctic, right? Because our prime minister's like, you have to use it or you lose it, right?
Right.
It's a big famous quote.
It's not like a t-shirt you have in your closet.
It's unbelievable. But that's very simple-minded conservative thinking, right? But basically, but a lot of people are, like, a lot of Canadians, like, you know, people from organizations or think tanks or whatever, they're like, you know, he's going the whole wrong way about it, you know? They're setting up military base kind of stuff up there, like military presence.
Right, yeah.
Is that what we should be doing? You know, who are we going to fight off? Like, I that's what I find really intriguing. It's like, what kind of steps are really being made about this claiming the Arctic sovereignty?
Right. Well, if you don't take a military approach, what approach do you take?
Well, that's a good question, right? But is it hasty? You know what I mean? Like, they had a big meeting in June with all these countries and experts and stuff, and they didn't invite any of the natives.
You know what you should really do? You should host a meeting in like February.
Yeah.
Up there, and whoever has the balls to show up.
I know. I'll get Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton will show up.
Oh god.
Anyway, so I thought that was really fascinating what's happening of late, and we'll hear a lot more about that as we go, I think.
Well, because like I think I've told you this before, but I signed up for the Prime Minister's news feed years ago.
Oh, it's like Clayton years?
No, I think it was Harper years.
Oh, okay.
Because so Harper's been...
4 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's still years. Thank you very much.
That's years, okay.
Look at the levels on that
levels
one.
Levels are going nuts.
I was told that, you know, it's, you know, there's a lot of announcements coming in the kind of work that we were doing, so you might as well just stay up to speed as to what's going on. And I got lots of stuff for a while, and then I got nothing for years.
Really?
And then only the last, like, 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I've been getting media releases and backgrounders from the Prime Minister's office, and lots of them came out during his time up in the Arctic. And it was interesting because they were to announce, you know, a refurbished airport in, you know, Churchill Falls, which is not up there, but it's like northern Manitoba, might as well be fairly up to the top there.
Yeah.
And then they would do some research center up there, too. So when I was thinking about, like, you know, lose it, use it or lose it, and the idea that there's military presence, but I guess that's, he's trying to do a multi-pronged approach of putting some sort of research facility up there, right? And all those stuff, right? But these are things that can take... I was seeing the story that could take years. Like, this is only just the beginning stages of just figuring out where it could go and what would you be studying up there, you know? And it won't even come to fruition until at least another 5 years or so, people were saying. So it's a long ways away. But then, you know, like, I don't know who else could do it. Like, I mean, who else has the ability to take up equipment and materials up there?
Yeah.
Like, can the Russians kind of float it in, or can the Danish kind of put, like... Like, I don't know. Like, who's going to bring up the pine beetle wood? Like, it's not going to be the Russians. It's going to be Canadians going up there, right?
So. Yeah. Well, you know what the Russians did? There's this disputed part of the Arctic, like right around, way closer, right in the Arctic, that they went underwater and they planted a flag.
Right.
You hear about that,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do. That was a while ago, yeah. Like, about a year ago.
Yeah, a year or two. And because the United Nations were preparing this decision...
Right.
Or something, and that was their way of saying, no, think favorably of us. And I just thought, man, that is just so...
Whatever happened with it, did they decide what that was? Was it Canadian?
I don't know. I don't know if it was going to be decided this year or next year.
Okay.
But it was still a year or two away to decide. But yeah, the UN were supposed to figure out who was getting that piece of the Arctic. It's just, you can't go down there, plant a flag, and say, it's not the moon. You know?
And I don't think just because the Americans put that, you know, put that flag up there in the moon, I don't think people consider the moon American.
Well, exactly. But I bet you there's a lot of Americans who do.
Yeah. No, but when I said that out loud, I'm like, yeah, actually, probably a lot of people do think that.
All they have to do, like, it's like the International Space Station, right? Like, they'll just, all these countries will just put their own space stations. Now we're colonizing space.
Yes, one tin can at a time. It's so small, man. Like, if we can build the Starship Enterprise, we can probably build a better station. Did no one watch Deep Space Nine?
I didn't. Next Generation. I had something that just popped in my head.
Yes.
Bloomberg? Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah, what about him?
Amazing guy.
Oh, okay. You're going a totally different way than I thought.
He delivered, like, the best speech on this whole mosque in Ground Zero.
Oh, okay.
I'll send you the link. There's a show, The Young Turks, and this guy, it's like he's this guy on YouTube or whatever, and he just shows things from, you know, it's kind of like opposite of Fox News, like it's like the left. And they just show these ridiculous things that, like, Sarah Palin people say. But then he was like, okay, watch this. This is an amazing speech. And the way Bloomberg just, because he's for having this mosque or community center or whatever it is.
Like, they weren't already a mosque 4 blocks away. Like it's...
Which he mentioned. Yep. Yeah. And he's like, hey, guys, you know, come on. You know, like, this actually, if we decide not to do this, this actually lets the terrorists win. And he's like, it wasn't Islam that took the towers down. It was Al-Qaeda and all this kind of stuff. And he's going on, and everything he said, point by point by point by point, was brilliant in this speech. And I thought, you go. Progressive thinking in New York City. It was awesome.
Well, and The Daily Show had some interesting stuff about it, too.
Yeah.
I see if I can find a clip that I can post as well. But
that'd be good.
It was, like, Fox News is one of, you know, it's the conservative media, quote unquote, that has been really perpetrating this stuff, right?
Yeah, I know what you're gonna say.
About how they were saying this evil guy could potentially be funding this mosque,
right?
And this evil guy could potentially have ties to terrorist groups, not mentioning the guy's name. But that guy is a guy who owns the most shares in Fox News and Fox News Corp, other than Rupert Murdoch.
Right, is he like Saudi Arabian or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, yeah, some Saudi prince, right?
Saudi Arabia has, they own like an eighth of the American economy or something.
Well, and so John Stewart's like infuriated, like how can you build this fear mongering? And like,
yeah.
In the end, the same logic would dictate that Fox News is a terrorist cell or a terrorist organization, right? Like,
yep,
yeah, just, and they had a really fun thing that they said. Are they really stupid or are they really evil? And the whole thing with John Oliver and Asif Manvi.
Yeah.
Or no, actually, it wasn't. It was the other, I forget, one of the other comedians. It wasn't Asif Manvi.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, you know, they're saying team stupid versus team evil. Like, no, they didn't know that they're so dumb. They don't get that they're ratting out their own owners, right? And they goes, no, it's just pure evil. Like, they know it, and they're just trying to build, you know, whatever, right? So it was just really interesting, really, really fun.
I wonder what, you know, the top brass really do think of all of that. They probably just don't give a shit. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what, like, when people come out and point things out like that, I wonder what they really think about it. They hang in their heads like, oh, God, they got us again. Or do they just don't care? I don't think they care.
Well, I just get really scared because they're calling that station Fox News. News. Like,
oh, I know.
You know, like, it's I mean, it's fine. You can have that station and whatever, but call it Fox Opinion or Fox, you know, op-ed or something. But, like, it's
ignorant.
It's not news.
No, it's not.
Oh, gosh. But speaking of good speeches... The Emmy Awards last night.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I was a bit cringy because they're giving George Clooney this humanitarian award. And
great speech.
And it was funny because, one, I didn't realize that this Bob Hope Award, they've only given it, this is the fourth time they've given it. And that Bob Hope Award's been around for longer than 4 years, so they don't give it out every year, which I think is nice. Like, you don't go fishing for who could get it this year. Like, you only give it out when you think it's deserving, which I like. I like that.
Yeah.
And Juliana Margulies came out and she, you know, introduced Clooney. And it was not a big montage, not a big showing all these clips of all what he's doing in the world. And I would assume, you know, they, you know, usually they ask the recipient, would you accept this award if we were on mm-hmm. giving it to you, right?
Yeah.
I would assume he probably had some conditions, like not a big fanfare, not a huge amount of things, right? And then, like, so she, her thing was very short.
Yeah.
Like, I thought she was going to go much longer, but she just said...
I'm glad, you know, she didn't.
And she just said and introduced him, and he comes out. And right away, he deflects anything to do with him. He talks about his aunt, Rosemary Clooney, and being friends with Bob Hope, and how, you know, they epitomized what celebrity is really all about.
Absolutely.
And then, like, he spent very little time talking about what he did, which is so humble. Like, this guy is the quintessential. He is the movie star of our generation. Like, he yeah. totally is. Like, there's no
he's
one else.
A class act, yeah.
And he says, I fail, as everyone fails, to shine the spotlight 5 years later, 10 years mm-hmm. later, when the drama is just as intense, but the spotlight isn't nearly as bright.
Yeah.
And if whoever can solve that problem, and I failed miserably, can go out and do that, then, you know, that's what we need, right? So I thought that was really classy. Like, I was choked up a little bit. I thought, well, that I would expect
good.
Nothing less from Mr. George Clooney.
Yeah, right. I couldn't agree with you more. We watched it and we were like, wow, that wasn't too long. It was just to the point. And he did kind of mention that, you know, there's some of you out there, but I know there's a lot of you who don't. You know, like for the other celebrities,
right?
And stuff.
Right.
I couldn't help it.
I thought he was gonna say Betty. He's gonna say, "I know Betty White" or something.
Yeah. But no, you're totally right. It was very humble and it was good. He's the guy, like you say, and that whole connection to Bob Hope, that was really, I found that powerful. You know, I think it's good.
We'll sometimes see. The name gets lost. You know, and that award is there because it's symbolic of someone and someone's lifetime achievement of that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, I just something about that, just that he touched on all the right, but, like, he knows. He's either playing us off for fools.
Yeah.
Or he's genuinely that great.
It was cool, because they did show a few photos, like him.
Yeah.
I guess in Haiti. And, you know, it wasn't him, like, showed him walking with someone, or just hanging out with some kids. It wasn't him like digging something, or you know what I mean,
right.
I mean of course he's probably doing all that too, but he was, it's like Sean Penn, right?
Yeah.
I really loved how he came out to just say, okay, whoa, okay, Wyclef, like, hold on a second there, you know. They don't need the flashy apparent wealth. They don't need the entourage. They don't need the camera. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, his whole to-do when he goes there, the guy is just so full of himself. And Sean Penn is pointing this out and talking about what he's done. And he's like, he's not saying, I should be president. He's saying, he's actually just describing what kind of leader they need. And how Wyclef isn't that.
Right.
Or wouldn't be that. And it's amazing because I find his honesty refreshing.
Right. But it's funny though, because I haven't heard that speech. And a lot of times, you know, Sean Penn says things that I don't necessarily disagree with. Like, I think he's like, he has a well thought out thing. But for some reason, the way he delivers what he says sometimes can be construed as a nagging mother type or someone. Or, you know, someone who goes, well, people could react and say, oh, gosh, it's just Sean Penn. It's like, he's kind of in the same...
Shooting his mouth off again.
He's kind of in the same grouping as Susan Sarandon and
Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins, you
yeah.
know? And, like, again, I'm sure, you know, their politics and their views aren't too different from where my...
Yeah.
If I had to think about issues in that way, it would come to either.
Yeah.
But to bring it back to, I guess, to George Clooney, because I'm just in love with the guy, I guess,
yeah.
apparently, is just... He has somehow been able to transcend that a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, but just how he delivers things, or his self-deprecating way, which isn't so obviously self-deprecating. Like, he just speaks very little about it. Like, he's very mum about everything. Like, you know, like when you talked about Sean Penn, like, he, I mean, when you were talking about what he said, and in the end, he still had to say what he had accomplished and felt the need to list that down, right? Well, you know, George Clooney, his speech, said nothing of that. Like, he said something that I thought is quintessentially why people give awards to volunteers. And this is me thinking about my own volunteering hat on for a second. And you know, there's a lot of, you know, debate about recognition. Like, people volunteer because they want to volunteer. They want to help. They want to be, you know, they want to be useful. They want to make a difference. And giving awards just, you know, it's counter to what volunteerism is all about. But actually, no. Like, I think George Clooney said it right. He said, you know, maybe, you know, by me standing up here with this award, you didn't really use those, I'm paraphrasing, of course.
Right.
You know, hopefully it will inspire someone to solve this problem of how do you solve it? How do you keep the spotlight on, right?
Yeah.
And that's what these recognitions are all about. It's not really about
putting it on your mantle and
about what you've done.
Yeah.
It's about just opening the eyes to other people who haven't done that and go, I could do that.
Yeah.
That could be me. I mean, not everyone's gonna be George Clooney, but like, you know, I wanna make a difference in some way. Right. So he really understood that. And that's what this award is or awards like that are about, right? It's not about, it's secondary about rewarding
for sure
what you've done, but it's more about inspiring others to do more. Right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So anyways, just where my mind goes with that.
No, I agree fully 100% with that, Justin.
Which leads us to another thing I keep thinking in my mind is that people say, you know, Justin, you know, the podcast is great, but you guys should disagree more.
Oh.
Terry Schiavo. Just kidding.
You know what?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I'll raise that level down that you just distorted there. But, you know, we'll find it. Every now and again.
But,
you know, the listeners who listen every time.
Yes, the three people who are late night shift workers.
Yeah.
And Vanessa.
They,
and Kevin.
They know when we've disagreed. See, it hasn't been often, but.
But I think, you know, that's a very typical North American thing where you need conflict to build interest.
Yeah, sure.
But I just think I like how just by talking things out, I'm unpacking ideas or things or thoughts, right? And I just, that was our original intention, was to unpack
thoughts. And how many times have one of us looked at the other and be like, that makes me think of something?
And I love that.
Or
I never thought of it that way. And I think we've said that many times to each other. And I love that.
Yeah. So it's all about communication, people. Keeping the communication lines open.
Yo. Burnaby-o.
Well, maybe we should
wrap it up
since we've had a continual stream here for the last 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, it's great.
Which is awesome. So I'll just edit together the other parts. So it'll be seamless. You won't even know. So thanks for listening and joining us tonight.
Yeah, and hopefully you enjoyed the dual mic and that it was all worth it.
Yeah, hopefully we come even more crystal clear.
That's what she said.
I was just going to say the same thing. You beat me to it. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah, we'll find out more about some of these things we've been talking about and get some more stats, more facts, so we can be even more in-depth with our version of the news. So, good night and good luck.
Wow, we'll just leave it at that.
Okay, awesome. Thanks.
Okay. Oh, there it goes.
Testing. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Seems to be doing its thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to watch
Maybe
it.
Maybe we'll just start.
We can start if you want.
Might as well.
I'm going to try this again.
Yeah, I guess so.
Let's see how long we last. Hello, welcome to the welcome to the dotmatrix.com. Episode 36.
Welcome to Dot Matrix. Hopefully.
This is lasting pretty good.
Yeah, this is going pretty
good.
Okay,
quick, start it.
Okay. Hello, you've reached. No, hold on.
You're doing
I'm doing an answering message. Okay, all the outtakes are done.